Imagine a beautiful afternoon. The sun is shining and you get to enjoy it all because you just sat down on your John Deere mower. The smooth ride lets you escape into your yard. Intuitive controls make you feel like you're one with the machine. And with attachments for every season, you can enjoy it all year long. We could keep trying to put you in the moment, but to really understand what it's like to drive a John Deere mower, you just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get in the seat or visit a dealer near you.
Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. I am an assistant editor at Mint. I keep a close track of all that is happening in the world of stock markets. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets.
Market valuation of all listed firms on the BSE touched $3 trillion for the first time, led by gains in smaller stocks. With small and mid-cap stocks outperforming benchmarks, investors seem to be shifting to the riskier segment. So, how risky is this bet? And how long are the stocks likely to rally? To understand that, I'm joined by Nimesh Chandan, Head of Investment Equities, Canara Robeco. Hi, Nimesh. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nasreen. It's my pleasure to be here on your podcast.
So, Nimesh, as we speak, the market cap of all listed companies in BSE hit $3 trillion, and that's a feat in itself, considering the economic crisis that we're in the middle of. But the unique thing this time about is that this is not led by the bigger stocks, which are the blue chip stocks, which are in the index. But this is mostly led by the mid and the small cap stocks, which have been performing constantly from the last 1 year period. So do you think that the rally in mid cap has more legs to continue?
So it's a very good question, Nasreen. For the right answer to how the mid caps have actually performed, we need to take a slightly longer perspective. So you would remember that somewhere in December of 2017, it's where the small cap and the mid cap indices, they actually peaked. And then they underperformed large cap for about 1.5 years, so till about mid of 2019. The reason for that peak was the expectations were very high on growth, while the global and the domestic economy was seeing signs of a slowdown. Also, economy was going through a lot of changes which were getting installed. So demonetization, GST, RERA, cleanup of the banking system. These aspects did have an impact on the growth rates on the economy. And over the next 2 years, we saw a slowdown which impacted mainly the mid-caps and the small-caps. The larger companies also, they perform very selectively. However, from mid of 2019, the sentiment changed. There was more support from the monetary side of globally from central banks and also fiscal support. However, we saw some glimpse of that recovery in mid caps and small caps in like 6 months from September to about March. And then we saw the impact of COVID coming in 2020. So this rally that we are seeing was actually delayed from what we saw the beginning in 2019. Clearly, in the pandemic, the support from the monetary and the fiscal authorities went up substantially. What started as pockets of recovery is getting more broad-based. And I believe in the next 2 years, we will see a much stronger economic recovery and business recovery. And that is what is helping mid-caps and small caps. For mid caps specifically, the valuations are also quite attractive compared to the large cap peers. Now, I generally don't talk about price to earning ratio of an index and then make a statement on that because the composition of the indices go through a lot of changes. But let's say for just as a benchmark, we use large cap companies are trading at around 19 times 1 year forward earnings. So 20 times 1 year forward earnings. And we are seeing mid caps at about 19 times 1 year forward earnings. So there is, on the index level, there is some discount there. Plus, right now, when you look at different segments and different sectors, you are able to find good mid-cap businesses with sustainable growth rates, good, healthy balance sheets at a reasonable price compared to the large cap. So I believe this mid-cap rally has a lot of legs going forward, at least for the next 2-3 years as this recovery unfolds.
Okay. But as you mentioned about the last performance of mid and small caps, if you go back, we had seen that after 17, the way both small and mid cap segments had rallied, it was phenomenal rally even then. And then it fizzled out. The reasons that most analysts had given was it was an euphoric rally. There was not much of fundamental support and hence the rally fizzled out. But this time you're saying that there is more valuation support plus there is more fundamental support to the rally. Is that so?
Yes, absolutely. This time we are seeing numbers improving in the whole of, say, BSE 500 from September onwards. So it's not just that the earnings have been upgraded for only the top 30 stocks or the top 50 companies. From September onwards, the BSE 500 has seen a positive growth in earnings and we have seen upgrades coming there. Mind you, in September still, we were having a GDP growth which was in the negative territory. And at that time, we had a positive about 10% growth in the BSE 500 companies. From there on, this recovery got accelerated as we got out of the first wave of pandemic. Mm. And now we have seen even the March numbers are quite good for a lot of mid caps and small caps. Yes, the second wave will create again a lag for a quarter for the earnings to really boost further. We may see some kind of downgrades coming for FY22, depending on business to business in this year. But the markets and the investors who are looking beyond that, who are looking at normalization in, say, FY23 and then 24 and 25, will reap the benefits of this growth and the recovery coming back. We may have a one quarter of pain because of the second wave, but we should see a healthy recovery post that too.
Okay. But if at all there is a more crisis in the economy, like you mentioned about the third wave, if there is a third wave and if there's a further economic crisis, you think the retail participation may move out and there could be some impact in the small cap liquidity?
So I'll tell you about why I'm bullish on small caps. And then I'll tell you what I worry about when it comes to retail investors participating in the small cap rally in a certain way. So the small caps are higher beta as a category compared to mid caps or large caps. So clearly when the downturn came between 2017 to 2019, the small cap indices, the small cap companies took the most beating. They were down about, I think the index was down about 35% and underperforming large cap by about 50%. So obviously, at that time, nobody was attracted to this category. At Canara Robeco, we had launched the small cap fund during that time. And I remember a lot of people during that time were very skeptical about the small cap returns and the risk that small caps companies have. But what happens is when people generalize a category as large as small cap, so apart from the top 250 stocks, the rest of the stocks are classified as small cap, and about 500 of these are something that institutions look at for their small cap investment. Now, to generalize that all 500 business models, all 500 managements and valuations are wrong and very risky, I think that's a very mistaken assumption. So we were able to find pockets during that time within small caps where businesses were good, managements were good, and valuations were extremely attractive purely because people were skeptical. Now, because of this sharp rally that we have seen in the last 1 year, a lot of these stocks have reached reasonable valuations. Some of them have actually upgraded and moved to the mid-cap sector. Now, there are still pockets where the growth is underappreciated or the valuations require or need a re-rating upward or deserve a re-rating upward. However, when the problem comes when investors just get into this category in euphoria that it's easy to make money in small caps and we need to trade small caps and you buy anything in small cap and you make money. I think that's again a mistake. So when people are fearful and leave a category when it's at the bottom, that's a mistake. And when a category is doing very well and people just blindly come into it is again a risk. What I worry is so many retail investors coming for short-term trading, whether they are doing intraday or BTST or they are using leverage to invest in these companies. That's a wrong way. Once somebody has a long-term view on a particular company and then invests in it, then you get the right returns. Just getting into small caps because now there is a euphoria or people moving into small caps, I think that's a mistake. However, I still believe there are large pockets within small caps where the growth is underappreciated and valuation is more deserving. And investors should look for those pockets and look at those companies.
Moving on, as you mentioned about the earnings, you know, when we did an analysis of the March quarter earnings so far, the smaller and the mid-cap segment actually did a good performance in March quarter. And you think this earnings momentum will continue in FY22? I understand you said that probably there could be this month, this quarter, there could be a hiccup. But what about the entire fiscal?
So, Nasreen, what happens is when people are comparing this quarter results with last year's results, there has to be a certain adjustment to be made. The March of last year was not a complete month for a lot of businesses because they went into lockdowns very early.
Yes.
And a lot of businesses were not really prepared for a lockdown. So they were either stuck with huge inventory or receivables, or they were not able to ship certain things that they wanted to. So the last month of the quarter was a bit difficult for FY20. Now, when you are comparing FY21, then obviously a lot of growth rate would look good because you are in a recovery month versus you were in a lockdown kind of a month. So that has to be taken with a pinch of salt. It's better to compare two-year compounded growth for this quarter results at least to understand how the business has actually done. No doubt, a lot of companies have done well because they were able to compensate for the growth that they lost in the first half of the year. They were able to manage costs better. So Indian entrepreneurs are very innovative. They are able to manage the situation through innovating certain distribution models, adopting technology, maybe also coping up with the new restrictions that have come. So I believe the numbers will be good. Next, Q1 of FY22, we will see some kind of a downgrade or some kind of a slowdown that is coming. For a lot of consumption companies, there could be also impact of higher inflation. Last year, commodity prices were actually quite low. This year, we are already starting FY22 with a high cost in terms of commodities. So whether it is metals or even soft commodities, we've seen a sharp increase year on year. So some of these businesses will also see impact on margins, which is why I believe the expectations for FY22 need to be a little measured. Investors should, if they are investing right now, should look at FY23 or FY24 as their investment horizon over which this good businesses will be able to compound and give you a good return. Also, coming with expectations that by investing in small cap, we'll make returns like we made last year, I think that's again a mistake. Sure. One should expect equities to give better returns than other asset classes, but not as high as what we have seen last year or not. Go back to what is the long-term average that equity returns give. That's been around mid to low teens on a compounded long-term basis. I think that should be the expectation rather than going with very high expectations out of small caps or mid caps as a category.
Now, we are almost in the second month of the year, and the situation on ground, especially with the healthcare crisis, you think the government will be able to meet that much of a capex in FY22?
So, I think this year the budget that was presented by the center had a very important change that I'm sure a lot of people noticed also, that the government actually took pressure off of following the fiscal deficit glide path that was designed for, say, normal year. They changed their strategy to take a higher fiscal deficit of some 6.8% for FY22. They also took a glide path which is much higher than what people were expecting, so which is about 4.5% by FY26. Now, what it does is it takes the pressure off cutting expenses to meet higher, to meet a lower deficit target. What you are saying is, I will spend more for the economy because I want higher growth rate for the economy, and I'll manage with a higher fiscal deficit for this time, till the time businesses come back to normalization, when the growth becomes more sustainable. It's a very positive message to the businesses also. It changes the narrative suddenly. It says that government, on one hand, will not do any unreasonable tax measures to collect more taxes. At the same time, they will not stop their spending on their infrastructure or social schemes. Now, if you combine what they have done now with what the government had announced in 2019. Remember, in August and September, government had announced a lot of measures. The finance minister was on TV almost, I think, every week or fortnight to announce the measures for key industries.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. So those incentives for production link incentives, the corporate tax cuts, housing incentives, incentives to manufacturing, if you and this budget, if you put all of them together, the government is saying that I'm spending, I'm creating a multiplier effect for you, because anything that government spends has a Keynesian multiplier, leads to a multiplier downstream, because it creates more income for others, and then it creates, minus the savings, it creates a income for the next level. So this Keynesian multiplier in terms of government spending, plus a confidence multiplier that the government wants to incentivize manufacturing and infrastructure growth in the country. And it has also come at the right time. A lot of global corporations are looking to have India as a partner for outsourcing. So a lot of them are looking for China plus one kind of strategy. So where India qualifies extremely well in terms of businesses. So I see a good growth in the government capex. I see a good growth in the private sector capex. I see a good growth also in household capex, which is in real estate.
So one last question, Nimesh, before we wrap this conversation, is about the liquidity. Now, strangely, the market has got the full support of DIIs, and DIIs have been constantly buying for the last 2 months. But FIIs, on the other hand, have been on the back foot. They are selling. I know it is around $2 billion in the last 2 months, and it is much less compared to the robust investment that they have done since October. Does the FII selling off concern you? And the second question is, what is keeping the DIIs so invested in the stock markets now?
Good observation, Nasreen. So you are right. In the last couple of months, we have seen some outflows. But if you see, compared to other emerging markets, in 2020 as well as year till date, India has got a lion's share of foreign investments from the emerging market side. In a lot of Asian markets, we have seen 2020 being a negative flow year in terms of foreign flows into those countries. And even YTD, they are having, a lot of them are having negative flows. So India has actually got a lion's share of foreign investors' money coming in. In fact, there was some selling in March 2020, which was quite severe. And the rest of the year, the flows actually increased FII holding in the country. I think it went up by about 0.5% in BSE 200 companies. So the total holding of foreign investors in the country. If you see in the year to date, what has happened is there is some volatility in flows towards emerging markets. There were some worries whether, like, you know, the second wave, how much it will impact the country, what kind of lockdowns we will have. Also, there was also questions about whether US interest rates climbing high will lead to a risk-off kind of scenario. And a lot of funds would take money off the table just to prepare for that. But look at the primary market in India. The IPOs, the QIPs have been subscribed so well from the foreign investors too. So I believe, yes, maybe these flows don't go by a particular pattern or a rhythm. They remain fluctuating. But it is not something that we need to be worried about. On the domestic side, I'm happy that the SIP flows continue well for the domestic mutual funds. I think that's a good way of investing over a longer term for wealth creation for the retail investors. However, there have been even negative months for the DII investments. So domestic investors also had a series of negative months or outflows or them selling from the market. I think that's very healthy. As a long-term investor, I don't want all the investors suddenly becoming euphoric about the market and say the foreign investors, the domestic investors, the retail investors, the individual traders, everybody just being on the buy side. Actually, to use a term from the pandemic, it's better to build an immune system where somebody or the other is selling so that you don't get into that bubble kind of high expectation zone where you become very vulnerable to a small negative news that comes in and the stocks collapse. So I would say having a mix of investors coming in, also not having everybody buying at the same time, actually helps getting more rational pricing in the market and rational valuations in the market and reduces the fear of going into a bubble zone.
All right. That's a very interesting point that you made, Nimesh, but I'm afraid we are very short on time. And thanks a lot for giving us those insights and also for taking your time out and sharing those insights. Thanks a lot once again and stay safe.
My pleasure, Nasreen. Stay safe. Thank you.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.